Most are done today. Nonetheless, we probably will have a little bit left over for Monday. And on Sunday, we'll do the halacha lemaisa aspects. For example, the issue of using a tree and all kinds of issues like that. There are gzeiros drabanan that are very relevant, so we'll try to focus on that on Sunday. So working backwards, probably have a little bit left on Monday the sugya, Sunday the halacha lemaisa, tomorrow parsha, today and the time that we have. We'll try to get it's a good chunk of what exactly the yisod of the sugya is about. And there's a lot of discussion, a lot of debate about just trying to pin down what exactly is going on here. Is there a Rambam over there? The general question of defining the malacha of kotzer lurks behind everything. And I think a key issue, a key perspective to maintain is stay positive. Because it's easy to lose focus on the positive component of kotzer, because it's all about cutting something and taking it away from its life and taking it away from its source. But as we started to discuss yesterday, since we assume that the malachos need a positive basis, and this is certainly also not one of the handful that are overtly in a different category, it's not an almanas type of malacha, so therefore it's important to assume that there is a constructive purpose. So for example, a definition such as harvesting has a constructive sense to it, that it conveys that you are trying to obtain an item which happens to right now be connected to something else, so you need to disconnect it in order to obtain it, but that focus is possibly very relevant. So we spent some time yesterday talking about the question of, for example, that maybe the Tzorach La'etzim concern that we find in the famous Tosfos is not limited to that circumstance, that maybe it's a rule by Kotzer as a whole, that maybe we always have a focus on actually needing the item, because again, that's what the malacha is about. The malacha is about obtaining the item and getting it for ourselves. So that could have impact on a number of other issues. Just to mention one side one first, there is a little bit of discussion about what the shear for kotzer is. It probably corresponds somewhat to the Mishnah in Kuf Gimel, which talks about choresh, but then gets into other things which are related to kotzer. And most of the shiurim, different shiurim for different purposes, depending on whether you're going to be eating it, depending on whether you're going to be feeding it. So for example, if you're going to be eating it, groveris, again, that's already a focus on obtaining something rather than on the maisa ksira, on the act of cutting something off. And there is a interesting suffix in the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim in his Hakdama to Hilcha Shabbos, he knows that there's a Gemara put on the Mar Makomos from Daf Pei, that the Gemara talks about somebody who's carrying half a shear on Shabbos. And it sounds like from the Gemara that if you carry half a shear, and then that half a shear becomes destroyed, and then you carry another half a shear, that there isn't going to be a tziruf between the two. So that being the case, can you assume that that would be true by kotzer as well? Let's say you are kotzer half groveris, and then that half groveris disappears, and then you're kotzer another half groveris. So can those two come together? So the premise of the question seems to be that, again, if the idea is you're trying to obtain something, so then it's only meaningful if they can all be obtained together, if they can all coexist. If they can't all coexist, so then maybe there shouldn't be any reason to combine the shear. So that's probably relevant to this question as well. Just parenthetically, while we're talking about shear, so the Meches Chinuch has a comment which may draw on a different idea that we spoke about. It's really a parenthetical point. But the Menchas Chinuch says, for example, in our cases of Zomer v'Tzarech La'etzin, that since there you have a situation where you're doing both Zoreya and Kotzer at the same time, pruning of the tree is both an act of planting, enhancing the tree, and an act of kotzer. So then he thinks the shear becomes a kol shehu, because since the shear of zareya is a kol shehu, and since this one act is being mechayiv you twice, so then a kol shehu becomes the shear for both, which is an interesting idea. Seems to be a little bit of our full faith and credit idea that we found in other areas, and we talked about recently in Chazara about eating a half a shear on Kippur. When we acknowledge something halachically in one area, sometimes it transfers over to a different area that's being used at the same time. So even if the shear for Ketzira is different, when the same act is both Zareya and Ketzira, so then he thinks that the lower shear dominates. The shear for Zareya establishes the Chiyuv, and it works for Kotzer as well. Okay, so all of that is also relevant to just some very fundamental questions in terms of understanding how Kotzer works. And there are some major, major issues that were a topic of major debate in Rishonim, in Achronim, possibly in the Talmudim. It does seem to be that there are major points of difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, and there is a debate as to what they're arguing about. Perhaps the most relevant issue, the most relevant test case that shows their differences, is that the Yerushalmi says that somebody who takes a fish out of water is considered to be in violation of kotzer. And it doesn't sound like that necessarily from the Bavli, because the Bavli does talk about an isser of taking a fish out of water, but it has the standard that it has to dry out first. And that that is an additional standard Yerushalmi doesn't have. And we'll discuss in a second that a lot of the Rishonim understand other malachas to be at play there. The Yerushalmi has this phrase, nuna, for a fish. And that's Aramaic for fish. Remember, Balaam had a well-known drasha, Parshas Baloscha. So there is it's an upside-down nun. And I think there's a sefer, maybe Avodas HaGershuni, something like that, that says that in the schus of the upside-down nuns, that's how Klal Yisrael survives. It's a little hard to understand, and I think Rabbi Lam explained that a nun means a fish in Aramaic, and it's saying that the fish that's able to swim against the stream, the upside-down fish, that represents the secret of Jewish survival. So nuna in Aramaic is a fish. So in Yerushalmi, it talks about taking a fish out of a place where it is in water and violating kotzer that way. So on one level, there is a question in general: can you even be in violation of kotzer in such a situation? That should we assume that there is a standard for kotzer that it has to involve gedulei karka? That seems to be the standard for disha. It's pretty much a beferish gemara in Hey and Aleph. That ain disha elab gedulei karka, although it's not clear that that's the maskana according to everybody, but that's a popular view. It seems like it's clear from the Gemara that ain disha elab gedulei karka, and working off of that, so then a lot of Rishonim assume that the same is true for Ketzira, that Ketzira also could only be applicable to gedulei karka, to things that grow from the ground. That's what it sounds like it means. So, for example, the Rishonim discussed that in our Gemara, in the Bavli, in Kuf Zayin and Midbeis, when I say our Gemara, I don't mean our Daf, I just mean it's our Talmud, and that in the Talmud Bavli, in Kuf Zayin and Midbeis, so the Gemara has a discussion about somebody who sticks his hand into an animal and uproots a fetus, and uproots Dildel, Vidaldel Uber, causing it to become disconnected. So there is some chiyuv there. So what is the chiyuv? So a lot of the Rishonim say, such as the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva and the Rambam as well, that the chiyuv is for netilas neshama. It's a malacha of shochet. That's the malacha that is involved. And the Rashba, in addressing this, if you got a chance to see the Rashba or not, but the Rashba is a very important makar on this issue. The Rashba quotes from the Ramban that it can't be that it's kotzer, even though there were other Rishonim who thought it was kotzer, but a lot of these major Rishonim here saying that it's not. But the Rashba quotes the Ramban that it's not kotzer because there's a rule, ein kotzer ela b'gedulei karka. that the same rule that we have by Disha applies to Ktsira as well. And his understanding is that the Rambam agrees with this, that the Rambam maintains this principle as well. Not everyone read the Rambam that way, but the Rambam happens to interpret that Gemara as being an Isser of Netilas Neshama. Does that mean necessarily the Rambam agrees there's no Ktsira other than Gidulei Karka? And Chastinuch didn't necessarily take it as so obvious, but that's the way the Rashba understood the Rambam. So the Rashba says he thinks this is the rule, that Disha, that Ktsira only applies to Gidulei Karka. Right?
If Rambam didn't feel that way, what did he say that he's chayv?
Maybe there could be another reasons why it shouldn't necessarily be kotzer, but the Rashba certainly agrees with you. And the Rambam certainly agrees with you.
Why wouldn't it be mafarik?
So that's a good question. What the definition of mafarik is exactly? We'll have to get to that and get ourselves into a whole other direction. So in the context of saying this, the Rashba asserts that there's a machlokus between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi on this point. Because the Yerushalmi does have the statement about the fish. So the fish does not seem to meet the definition of Gidulei Karka, presumably. So therefore, okay, we'll have to acknowledge that we have a machlokus between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi on this point. Parenthetically, in addition to Netilas Neshama, is also a Tosfos in the Bezara and Daf Vav, which maintains that the Isser is Gozes. You know, we discussed yesterday the possibility that maybe Gozes and Kotzer are roughly parallel. It's a question. Remember, Adam had defined Kotzer last week as separating something in agricultural context, so maybe that's what's going on here, that maybe the action parallels, so the same action that would be Kotzer in plants is Gozes when it comes to animals. It's a possibility. But again, many Rishonim not necessarily understanding this to be Kotzer. There is another possibility that, in general, so you question how many Rishonim disagree with this. If you look in the Shita of Haran, which is the old Chidushi Haran, on Sadi Dalet Amid Beis, he talks about the Mishnah about cutting your fingernails. So there he also asserts that it can't be Kotzer, because in Kotzer, Ela B'Gidulei Karka. But he also says that Yesh Meforshim, that it's Kotzer, but they're wrong. That's a good question. Who he's quoting in the Yesh Meforshim, the Dvar of Ram, who has a lengthy discussion about this, and we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. The Dvar of Ram says you have to figure out who the Ramban is talking about. He thinks this is really the dominant view. And he said, who the Ran is talking about? The Ran says the Yesh Meforshim. The Yesh Meforshim, is he one of the Rishonim? Is it a Talmud who doesn't know what he's talking about? He doesn't know who the Yesh Meforshim is. But he says here you can add the Ran to this list of Rishonim who explicitly state that Kotzer is relevant only by Gidulei Karka. By the way, also as a parenthetical Hosafa, yesterday we talked about the question of whether you need the Eitzim, and we attributed that position to the Ran, the Shita Laharan. So in that comment on Sadi Dalet Amid Beis, he says even more explicitly, because there he says that another reason why fingernails can't be kotzer is because you only need it by Tzarech Le'Eitzim. He uses that word Le'Eitzim. We're not even talking about wood in that context, but he's extrapolating using the same phrase from Ayin Gimel Amid Beis as the standard for what is the definition of kotzer as a whole. So there, it's pretty clear what he means, that it can only be considered kotzer if you need the object that you are cutting off. Gil?
Rabbi said it's mafloka with the Bavli and the Rishami in terms of the fish, but isn't that...
That's what the Rashba and the Ramban say.
Isn't the case of the fish in the Bavli?
Yeah, but it's a big mafloka to show him what the Isser is there. The case of the fish, that's why you have most of Rishonim, not all the Rishonim, but most of Rishonim saying that it's not Kotzer, it's something else, or not listing Kotzer as the issue. The Ramban, the Ritva, the Rashba, the Rambam all saying the Netilas Neshama is the issue. So we don't have a clear statement from the Bavli that we're going to extend it to people or the fish.
The Rishonim explicitly says that it's Kotzer?
Yeah. So that's where the issue is. So there is another angle here that's also a possibility. That it's a little bit odd, but there are some Rishonim who seem to. Sorry?
Yeah, the Tosfos from Avodah Zarah was on Chalpo.
Yeah. There are some Rishonim who seem to be open to the possibility that animals are also called Gidulei Karka. So, is that really a possibility or not? It's interesting. There are some Tosfos in that seem to be open to the possibility. One of them is on Ardaf, again, Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, the Tosfos, the Ramatskal Mefarik. So there, you could read it, the Dvar Avram discusses this 2 days in Tosfos about whether or not animals can be called Kedulei Karka. If you read the Tosfos straight, it's a little hard to call it 2 days because that first day it kind of gets thrown out very quickly. And it has a line here like, "V'ein lomar d'davka chilazan shudag patri rabbanan d'lo have a gedulei karka." Aval b'cholev machayve d'behema chashiv a gedulei karka. Right, but don't say that. So to say it's 2 days in Tosfos may be a little bit of an overly generous reading. Tosfos right away shoots that down. So the Dvar Avram acknowledges that the Tosfos doesn't give full credit to that position, but there are other Rishonim where it's a little bit more generously acknowledged that that's a possibility. So can we say that here? So can we say that on the one hand, Kotzer only applies to Gedulei Karka, but animals are also called Gedulei Karka? So that's a whole discussion. So first of all, then it gets into the whole issue of what's the rule by Disha. Right? Do we say that when it comes to Disha, so Disha is limited to Gedulei Karka, so if Disha applies to animals, so animals must be considered Gedulei Karka, and therefore that's the case for Kotzer as well. So it's not clear that that's the case. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos might be saying that in the context of Disha. If you looked at the Rambam, it's in Perek Ches Halacha Zayin. The Rambam starts off, Hadash Kegroger Eschayiv, Ve'ein Disha El Gedulei Karka. Right, that's the rule. Then he goes on to say, Mefarek Karehu told us Hadash, right, so here he's applying dash to a behema, and he just said that it only applies to Gedulei Karka.
He said it was a tolda.
Correct.
So, you
see, it's a different rule for a tolda than for an av?
Yeah, meaning an av.
You see, the av.
Okay. Has to be Gedulei Karka, but a tolda, it's similar enough, that's why it's a tolda, but it's
maybe
not the av.
Maybe. It's possible.
For what case did he say that was from a farik?
He's talking about milking an animal. So milking an animal, he just said that Disha only applies to Gedulei Karka. And then right away, immediately after that, he says that Cholev is a Tolda of Dash, and there you go.
Can you say that that's not really the animal? Like, you could say that maybe for the fish, because you're removing the behema, which is like Gedulei Karka, from it, but here you're not removing an animal, you're removing milk from an animal.
Correct.
So
but
not
but where's the Gedulei Karka?
You could say that the cow itself is the Gedulei Karka, but here you're not removing Gedulei Karka.
You might distinguish between fish and animals. Right. It's possible there might be such a distinction, but just in general, can we expand the category of Gedulei Karka to other than plants and to include any kind of animals? So it sounds like from this Rambam, maybe you can. Daniel, you wanted to comment on that?
No, I'm just wondering, it doesn't really help much with the steers in the bottom of your shalvi.
Not yet. No, we haven't really tried to reconcile them. Nor are we necessarily assuming that they will be reconciled, at least 100%. It could be that they may have some overarching similarities, but they're clearly going to be issues that they argue on. So if you look at the Maggid Mishnah here, so the Maggid Mishnah understands that you can read from the Rambam that not like Sammy is saying, no offense, that it's not the Tolda issue, but that it says, Afa pi shein di shel bidule karka, zehu dav kalamari kilozen, a kiyotzebo, shen alokos an olmar adagim, hagdeimu biyam, shein in the krom bidule karka, aval behem a chayiv of, kriyim hem bidule karka, zed das rebeinu. So apparently the Rambam, according to the Halacha Mishnah, understands that, like that view in Tosfos, a view that's barely acknowledged in this Tosfos, but there are other Tosfos in that talk about it a little bit more, as a Tosfos in Bava Kama, a Tosfos in Ksubis. If you got the expanded Mar Makomos I sent out this morning, I'll get to you later if you didn't get them, but there were some expanded Mar Makomos that have these additional Tosfos on them. So the issue is that it seems that there is a possibility that maybe Balei Chaim could be considered Gedulei Karka. But even that, many point out, that might not be extended to Ksuba.
What's the reason why that would be?
Yeah, so it's a drasha from the Gemara in Bava Kama. It's hard to understand exactly what it means. It probably means that they're sustained based on vegetation, and therefore it all traces back. It's not like
carnivores.
It's not like plastic. Sorry.
Carnivores
are also sustained to some degree from.
It's a tolda of people also.
Right, and you could take it that far. Again, it's not clear how valid an approach this is. So both the Dvar Avram and the Tevas Moshe, we mentioned yesterday, Moshe Brown, point out that they think that you wouldn't necessarily go for that even if you say that Disha applies only to Gedulei Karka, but that includes animals, that you wouldn't necessarily say the same thing for Katsir. Because we look to the Mishkan. Then in the Mishkan, so Disha and Tchina, where this also comes up, that was done on vegetation that was already separated, it was already tallish. So, okay, maybe we could have a broader definition of what counts. But when it comes to Katsira, so it's more definitional at the core, because the Katsira is happening while it is Gadol Bakarka. It's happening at its Karka stage. So therefore, they assume, this is a point that Varav Ram makes independently, but the Tevis Moshe points out that he thinks it's kind of explicit in the Ramban. But if you look in the Ramban, you could kind of find this language there, who also suggests such a distinction, that Katsira itself, the Katsira in the Mishkan, was done on the Gedulei Karka, so it's harder to use a broad definition. So even if you want to include behemoths in Gedulei Karka, maybe that's only true for Disha, but not true for Katsira. Okay, so far so good. So that seems to be an issue which the Rishonim are maintaining is a machlokus between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Dvar Avram, we started to comment about yesterday, the Dvar Avram has a very, very lengthy discussion about this. Actually, the one we talked about yesterday about separating A from B instead of A from A, that Kotzer, he said, means separating one item from another and not part of an item from itself, that's actually the previous piece. That's in Chav Gimel. But in Chav Dalet and Chav He, he gets into a much longer discussion. And he essentially asserts that he thinks that the machlokus between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi is also about something else. That the Yerushalmi has a phrase that Kotzer involves being mavdilo michiyuso, separating something from its essence, from its source of nourishment, from its source of life. So that's how the Yerushalmi maintains. You have the Isser of Kotzer. Okay, so taking the fish out of water and other types of Katsira, those are all included in what we would call Kotzer. But according to the Bavli, he maintains, it's something else. According to the Bavli, it's about separating that which is attached. And you need to have a status of Mechubar, that you are Tolesh, in order for that to be a violation of Kotzer. So that's it's not necessarily a question primarily about Gedulei Karka, even though it ends up being that. It ends up that, again, you have the same fishy machlokas, that Yerushalmi is applying it to the fish and the Bavli isn't, but that it's at its core, it's coming from a more foundational issue. It's not just the technicality of whether or not we apply it to Gedulei Karka. It's because the question is whether it's about separating anything from its source of life or whether it's about taking something which is mechubar, something which is attached, and separating. That he understands to be a machlokus between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, and he goes at great length in discussing, he goes at great length in analyzing how this works out. Hi.
So, like, you technically have a case where you would have Sotzer, which is also Kotzer? So, it's just removing something that's Mechubar, so then, you know, you make a wall and you remove one stone.
Yeah, I assume he means naturally Mechubar. I assume he doesn't mean artificial man-made items that are mechubar.
Okay.
I assume. He doesn't discuss it at all, but
so then, he
had enough room to get into it, and he didn't run out of ink. That was clearly not the issue. So I assume he means naturally mechubar.
And then mushrooms also would be, even though they don't necessarily grow from the ground, so that would also be considered mechubar enough?
Presumably. It's also just interesting, parenthetically, in terms of the Ramban, that the Ramban's whole point, where he tries to prove that there's no kosher by Gedulei Karka, only by other than Gedulei Karka, so the Ramban has various proofs. You should just be aware if you want to follow the whole back and forth, so the Maharit al-Ghazi challenged him on this. The Maharit al-Ghazi in Bechoros, in Perek Gimel, in Os Mem. You know that Rabbi Sobolevsky is fond of telling the story that when I was in college, So I was also involved in ordering his farm sale. And Rabbi Sobolevsky and I were learning Bukharis at the time, and they just came out with a fancy new version of the Marit Al-Ghazi on Bukharis. So we decided that he wanted one and I wanted one, and we wanted one for the base medrash, so I told his farm sale to order three, and we'd buy them immediately. So the computers registered that it sold out in the first few minutes that it was ordered, so it was the most popular item in this farm sale, that 100% of the stock of the Marit Al-Ghazi went in a flash. So it's not really the world's most popular sefer, but at least for that minute, it was registered as one. So the Marit Al-Ghazi has this lengthy attack on the Ramban on this point.
Where was it?
Gimel Mem. And so the Dvar Avram defends the Ramban against the Marit Al-Ghazi. So if you want to read the whole back and forth, that's in Siman Chof Dalet. He talks about the whole back and forth there between the Ramban's points and the Marit Al-Ghazi's points, and he defends the Ramban against all these attacks.
Removing like a dead tree branch from a tree.
Oh, so we'll see. That's a whole question. So that that may not be an issue.
It's attached, but it's not living.
So. Correct. That's part of where you see the difference. So we'll talk about that. Hi.
In terms of also like removing from source of living, let's say. So I understand maybe you want to say a fruit. Mm-hmm. How would that necessarily respond to? How would that affect holy? Milk isn't like alive. It's not like a fruit.
Right, so that's a whole discussion, which is why it's questionable if it applies. So that's Rashi's point. Rashi and Sadihei says that the reason, and that's also why Rashi is a little murky, because Rashi discusses there about milk. He says that milk is not kotzer, because the milk is not being created there, that you're taking it away from its source of life. The milk is basically gathered from where you're taking it. So essentially, it's a little bit tricky to figure out what Rashi is saying, because it sounds like Rashi is saying that potentially it could be kosher. Although others don't think that that's necessarily a proper inference in Rashi. Rashi is giving you one of many reasons why it's not kosher. But so there's a discussion whether or not Rashi is saying it could potentially be kosher. But the reason he does give is similar to what you're saying, essentially. That's not the way milk is existing right now. It's not that, I think Dvar Avram talks about this, he says, in fact, if you leave the milk where it is, it's going to spoil. It's not going to get healthier from where it is. It's not, it's one of the additional reasons why, you're right, why that would not fit a definition of kosher probably, which is why there are other malachas that are probably involved in terms of milking. So the Dvar Avram got into a debate with the great Yitzchok Rabinowitz, who's also known as the Bitzel of Panavision. So it's not really a fair fight, because I don't think we have the whole text of what the Panavizhar Rav, what Mitzvah Panavizhar wrote. There is a Sefer Zecher Yitzchak from Mitzvah Panavizhar. As far as I can tell, his essay about this is not published there, unless I missed it. So Dvar Avram just has a very short citation from him. Not the first time that he got into a back and forth with Mitzvah Panavizhar and that Sefer. But Rabbi Tzvi Panavizhar basically maintains that the Isser is, it's all about cutting off Yanika. It's all about cutting off nourishment. That it's not about Tolishman and Mechubar. It's all about taking off nourishment. And we don't have the whole text to really know. But that's the whole substance of his argument. As he goes on, he quotes a little bit more about what he wrote back and forth to him, but it's not so much of a fair fight, because we have much more of the Dvar Avram's response in his original piece than we have from the Ritz Lepanavizhar. But basically, his raya is from the Rambam. Now, why the Rambam is necessarily taken as definitional here, especially if we're talking about the Bavli, essentially establishing the Shita of the Bavli based on the Rambam, I'm not sure. But again, we don't have the full text of what he wrote. But basically, his point is based on the Rambam here in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Ches, Halacha Dalet. That, and there's a couple of assumptions here. But what does the Rambam say? It says, Givshushas shal afar, sha'alu ba asavim. So you have this clump of dirt that grass has grown on. Higbiya me'al ha'aret. So if you lifted it up and put it on pegs, like we saw by the Atzitz Shemanaku, or Atzitz Makub rather, so Chayiv Mishum Tolesh. So that's a Chayiv of Tolesh. So he asserts And all of this is debatable, and indeed the Dvar Avram does debate it extensively. But he asserts that there you're not changing the mechubar status, that it continues to still be as mechubar as it was before when you shifted its position onto these pegs, but it is further away from its source of nourishment. So therefore, that's already considered to be tolesh, which is an aspect of kotzer, that's considered to be kotzer because you are disconnecting it essence-wise, even though you're not disconnecting it physically. So that's a little bit of a debatable point. Again, he goes back and forth about whether or not that's true, but that's how he quotes the Vitzlupanavizhar that he goes on to disagree with. So this also comes up in the context, it's a little bit related to what Ephraim was talking about, comes up with, the Gemara talks about, let's say you have dates that are on a tree, and the dates have dried up. So is it aser to take them off? So if you look, there's a Tosfos about this. We had a chance to see it. On Kuf Nun Amud Beis. That Tosfos Maskel B'Mechubar. That sounds like from the Gemara that if you have Te'edim that are shrunken, so then it's also to take them off on Shabbos, even though they shrunk. But Tosfos suggests that's from the Gemara in Chulin and Kuchav Zayin in the Beis. Right, so there the Gemara says, Te'inim should simku ba'avehem betamin tumas ochlin v'atolish mena b'shabes chayiv chates. So Tosus here says, davka tzamku aval yavshu lo. But if they actually dried out, meaning they're no longer taking any further nourishment from the tree, so then, says Tosus, so then there isn't a chayiv on Shabbos for taking that off. But the Rambam seems to quote it differently. The Rambam doesn't have this whole chiluk. So that also then relates to the question that the Ephraim was asking. So to what extent can you say that there is an Isra Davka about disconnecting something from something that it's connected to? Or is the Isra about taking something away from its source of nourishment?
Sorry, is there a difference? Is he only Dafka saying if the tree's dead or if the fruit's dead from a live tree?
If the fruit's dead from a live tree.
But not if the tree's dead in any case.
Right. I mean, that's not the point being discussed. So that's itself a whole discussion. So Rav Moshe Brown points out that there is a Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi in Orla, Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, I apologize, by the way, if the list didn't get around. So I sent it rather late. But there was additional list. You can take a look at it tomorrow. That the Yerushalmi and Orla has the same din also. Has the same din about taking that dried out, that it would be a problem to take it off. So, yeah.
Is it so clear that Yerushalmi's case is the same as his case?
No, well, it's Tosfos, by introducing this whole suffix, makes it unclear to begin with. Tosfos, by distinguishing. So that itself throws a whole monkey wrench into everything. But Rav Moshe Brown assumes that basically what the yesod of everything is that it's about disconnecting something from its relationship to its source of growth. So if that means the actual growth or it means a physical disconnection, they could all be included in the same idea. And this probably also represents a broader question then about what exactly is the positive nature of kotzer. Right, we could then argue that if it's, for example, the way Dvar Avram wants to assert within the Bavli that it's about taking something which is mechubar and being tolesher, then we could argue that the whole point of kotzer is you're essentially making something usable for you. So something which is a fruit, for example, so So it's on a tree, it's not accessible to you. By being told Meshit, so you make it something that is now accessible to you. Especially because that's a step in the normal process of having it. Especially in the case of the Mishkan, because in the case of the Mishkan, it wasn't talking about fruit, but it was talking about items that had to be processed, that had to be used to make the dyes, so that for sure could only happen after it was detached from the tree. Theoretically, you could eat fruit while it's connected to the tree, and we'll talk about that a little bit on Monday, but certainly in terms of the model of the Mishkan, so we need to make these items accessible to us, so that presumably fits into the positive definition of what kotzer is, being tolish v'mechubar, making something no longer a part of a bigger structure, but now something that you can access. Hi.
But even though it's lost its primary function, because you no longer can eat it, it's dried out.
Well, you can eat dried out food also.
I'm saying,
but it's not continuing to be nourished in the tree. Well, why do you say its primary function?
Primary function is to be eaten when it's like fresh. Like it's like rolled, it's like a dead fruit. I don't need to use the dreaded fruit, like that'd be a shot. Like if you almost do most stuff, the shops would pay attention to things primary focuses are though. We decide what to do with them.
I'm not sure if that's totally true, if it has no function.
I'm not a fruit expert.
Yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from.
It was meat, then they
can. Right, no, I definitely hear where you're coming from, but I'm not sure if that's totally true. So the so that itself is one version. But if you say, let's say like the Yerushalmi, that it's about mavdil davar michiyuso. So again, if you want to maintain a positive definition, so that sounds pretty negative, right? Killing something, taking something away from its life. But to put the positive spin on it, which I think we need to do, is that when something is nourished from something else, so it becomes attached to that. It becomes secondary to that item. Like, for example, a fetus, right? A fetus, while it's connected to the mother, say, uber yarachimo, say it's considered a limb of the mother, and then when it's born, it's no longer nourished from the mother, it's a separate entity. So part of the definition of something being independent is that it's not taking its nourishment from something else. So a cutting off of something from its source of creation, as negative as it sounds, that's part of the definition of making something into an independent object, making something into an independent identity. Hi.
Isn't that problematic though with the fetus from what the Dvar Avram said about taking A from A? If you say it's a limb from the woman, then it should be mutter.
It would be kotzer, he would say. He doesn't think it's kotzer anyway.
It wouldn't be kotzer.
Right. He doesn't think it's kotzer anyway.
Oh, in this case, no.
Right. So, right, so that all being said, so that, again, puts a certain focus on what exactly we're talking about, and that's also relevant to a couple of other points. So first of all, the Yerushalmi also has a particularly negative focus, it seems, because the Yerushalmi talks about taking a potted plant and putting it on top of another potted plant. And the Yerushalmi says that is both Zareya and Kotzer. So why is it both Zareya and Kotzer? So the Korban Eidah understands that it's Zareya because you're putting the plant into nourishment, but it's kotzer because the plant that you're squashing is now not going to get any nourishment, so you are disconnecting that one. So if that's what you're focusing on as an act of kotzer, so it's interesting, so then that's really not about obtaining anything or making anything valuable for you. It comes out as an abstracted version of kotzer, that kotzer is defined by disconnecting something from its source of life, normally for a positive reason, but apparently the Yerushalmi is ready to see it even when you're just essentially destroying it. Although, there is some question if that's what it means. So the Dvar Avraham himself, he doesn't think that's what the potted plant situation means. He thinks the Zareya and Kotzer is about your Zareya by putting it down, but your Kotzer when you pick it up. And then he goes into a whole discussion that even though you plan on putting it right down, doesn't mean it's not kotzer in the first place. So that's an interesting question. What's the kotzer in that discussion? Is it like the Korban Eidah understands that you are squashing a plant underneath? Or is it like the Dvar Avraham saying that no, the kotzer is on the initial disconnecting of the plant? And it was up first.
Do you see those cases?
Sorry?
And also, we don't see the Yerushalmi or the Bavli count lifting it up per se. When you take from Maccabi, you see it was put onto the ground, you said it's Zareya, according to some, but we're not going to say that that's kotzer because you picked it up there.
Well, we do actually. So that's the thing. That Gemara says both. The Babli talks about that. The Babli says putting on the Yesedos is picking it up, putting on the Yesedos is Tolesh, and putting it down is Zoreya, except that, and this is also something that Baruch spends a lot of time on, that most Rishonim understand that that's not literal. Right? Most Rishonim understand that that's really Drabanan, even though it says...
No, I'm saying, but in the process of picking it up from the Yesedos and putting it down, you don't say...
I would say the immediate... You're saying any shifting... Right, I understand what you're saying. Saying that any shifting... Whichever direction you're going, it should always be kosher.
Right. Or something.
Right, that's true.
You don't see that in other cases.
It doesn't seem like you see it from there, right? It doesn't seem like it. Unless, you know, say it's one direct process. Maybe
so that could also be...
No, maybe that's not one direct process. Picking from A, moving to B is not one process. Well, this is one shift. Be what?
Yeah, kibana from the beginning, then like...
Yeah, if that makes a difference. Okay, Gil?
When we were doing Zoraya, we talked about Merod Lion on grass. So why, like the Korban Eidah saying, why isn't that?
Oh, so exactly. So that might be. So that does come up. So Gil's question is that we talked about during Zoraya that since watering the ground is considered to be Zoraya, it enhances the ground. Then we found that in the context, for example, of Merod Lion or maybe other types of substances which are questionable whether or not they benefit the ground, it may not be Zoraya. And we found in the context of Merod Lion that there are those who say, yeah, not only does it not help the ground, it actually hurts it. So Gil's question is, so let's call that not Zoraya, but let's call it Kotzer. So that's a possibility. There are those who may say like that, and we will talk about this a little bit in our halacha discussion, that there are those who say, based on the Yerushalmi about squashing the plant, if that's what it means, that pouring poison onto a plant would be Kotzer.
Would it be different? Like one of them is macaulay, and the other one you want to poison the plant for a constructive purpose.
Could be.
Destroying the
plant.
Why are you being high quotes there in the Rishami's case?
Because you're taking away a source of nourishment.
But you're not getting any positive benefit from doing that.
Correct. That's what I'm pointing out from it. That's a little bit surprising formulation that we're saying until now that we think that both definitions are really geared towards a positive definition of defining something independently, either physically independently or spiritually independently, and that this Yerushalmi about squashing the plant is a little bit of a deviation from that. However, that the Dvar Avraham understands the squashing is talking about a different kotzer. Hi.
But even according to the Korban Eidah, you can still say that you are benefiting from that kotzer because by destroying that plant-ground relationship, you're giving opportunity for the other plant to benefit from it. So it could be mitakan in that sense.
So you're saying it is a kotzer on Manasseh's Roa kind of idea. It's just like a
by destroying that, you're giving the opportunity for your other plant to thrive.
It's basically like zomer, you're cutting for the sake of growth. Maybe. Could be. So all of this also addresses. Say one other issue that we'll try to cover today a little bit that we've alluded to, we talked about Zoraya a couple of times, so we alluded to the fact that you might think that Zoraya and Kotzer are inversions of each other, that whatever is considered to be Zoraya, undoing it is considered to be Kotzer. So there is some basis for that, some discussion of that, but very often we don't find that to be the case. So for example, the Gemara and Daf Mem Hei over here talks about somebody put chitin in the ground, the question of whether they can take it out of the ground, whether it's a mukzeh issue. So you could ask, it's a mukzeh issue, why don't we say it's a kotzer issue? Right? If you put them in the ground, so we establish that it's zoreya even before it takes root, so why don't we say the opposite of zoreya is always kotzer? So that's a whole discussion. Chelkes Yoav has a whole shuv about this. Chelkes Yoav also has a whole question on the Prima Gadim, which I don't understand why he's asking the Prima Gadim, because it seems to be explicit in the Ramah. I put this Ramah at least in the later list. It's Shin Lamed Vav Ches. The Ramah talks about if you have a branch that's snapped off a tree, but it's still wrapped in bark, so it's still hanging from the tree, and that happened before Shabbos. So it's essentially disconnected.
In cases where it's hanging by a little thread from the tree?
Yeah, so it's still wrapped up in something, so it's still physically linked to the tree, but it's not getting its essence is not connected to the tree anymore.
Like all those trees deal with snowstorm?
I guess so. The branches. So the Rama says, if that happened before Shabbos, you could take fruit off that branch on Shabbos. That apparently it's considered disconnected, even though it's still physically connected to the tree. So the Chalkas Yov has a whole discussion about this. And he does bring out there that it doesn't really seem that Zoreya and Kotzer are direct opposites of each other. And it makes sense for Zoreya and Kotzer not to be direct opposites of each other based on what we're saying. That if we assume that Kotzer is not primarily negative, it's really just the next phase in development. It's really primarily positive. So you need to plant something, let it grow, and then take what grows in order to use it. So then there isn't really any svar that they should be direct opposites of each other. It's only just they happen to work in different directions. One's about putting in and one's about taking out, but they're not about negating each other. So therefore, perhaps it's understandable that we don't necessarily find that they're always inverted. So for example, in the case of seeds that are put in the ground, so perhaps you're in violation of Zoreya because you have started the process by which they're going to take root. But to take them out and say that you're in violation of Kotzer, as opposed to just Muktzer, is not necessarily true, because it could be that since this is not produced at all, it hasn't taken root, it hasn't connected to the ground in any way, that you are now being mechadish, a new thing, by separating it. So therefore, it's not necessarily kosher. We don't have to assume that they necessarily are the inverse of each other. Hi.
According to the Rishash, though, It would make sense that perhaps kosher would be, because at least Zoreya, you have to wait until there was a shrush, and therefore, if you didn't do that, so then it's not really Zoreya, so then...
So they do parallel each other.
Yeah, much more so.
More of a link. Right, except you get to that link by weakening Zoreya rather than by enhancing Kotzer.
Correct.
Right. So, but again, the point that I'm trying to bring out is the other side of the equation, that Kotzer is not about knocking Zoreya, it's about disconnecting something in a valuable way. So you need it to actually become connected so that you are changing its status by disconnecting it. And if it hasn't actually connected or it hasn't actually developed, so then you're not necessarily in violation of Kotzer by taking it out. Okay, does that more or less make sense? Everybody follow what we spoke about today? There is at least one other major point we'll leave for Monday, the whole question about Tolesh and this whole Tolesh Biyad and the Kli and this whole later Gemara about throwing something at a tree and knocking it down. So we'll talk about that a little bit on Monday, just to basically chazer what we talked about today, just broadly. So we talked about trying to emphasize our focus on the positive. Now we see Kotzer as harvesting, as looking to actually glean something, which involves cutting it, but the focus is on getting it. So we talked about how the shear of Grogris, which itself is a positive focus, but the Prima Gutum Suffolk about if you do it in two parts, whether you need the whole shear to still coexist in order for that to be a malacha, which is potentially the case. And we talked then also about the major question about where the Bavli and Yerushalmi disagree in terms of taking a fish out of water. That the Yerushalmi calls that kotzer, the Bavli probably doesn't, or at least doesn't force the Rishonim to. And a lot of the Rishonim assume that there's no kotzer except by Gidulei Karka, and maybe almost all the Rishonim, depending on how you read it. And it's a whole discussion, and the Rashba assumes that that's machlokes between them and the Bavli on one side and the Yerushalmi on the other side. Got into a little bit of discussion about whether Gidulei Karka could include Balei Chaim, that by Disha we find that possibility at least. And then we mentioned the approach that even if it does by Disha, maybe there's a difference between Disha and Ketzira, because Kotzer works at the Gidulei Karka level, and therefore we'd have a narrower definition. And we talked about the major machlokus between the Dvar Avram and the Vitzel Panavizhar, that the Dvar Avram believes that the debate between the Bavli and Yerushalmi is that the Yerushalmi is about Mavdilo Mechiyuso, cutting it off from its life source, and the Bavli is about taking a Mechubber and making it Tolish, taking that which is connected and disconnecting it. And the Vitzel Panavizhar said it was all about cutting off nourishment. They went back and forth about this. And then we talked about some of the relevant cases, the cases of dried out dates, and the question of whether one is chayiv on Shabbos for taking off the dried out dates. There could be a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. And then we talked about the fact that Yerushalmi has that din as well, and how to interpret all of that within one rubric. And we talked about seeing these as positive visions, that Tolesh is about giving something an independent identity physically, and Mavdilo Mechiyuso is about giving an independent identity spiritually, that it shouldn't be dependent physically on another entity. And we talked also about the lack of complete parallelism between Zoreya and Kotzer, and suggested that it makes sense that Kotzer is not just about killing things, Kotzer is about obtaining things that have grown. And the question of whether it's about killing things is a little bit of an open discussion, because the Yerushalmi talks about squashing one plant with another plant, and says that's both Zoreya and Kotzer, so there's a question where the Kotzer is. The Kotzer in the squashing the plant, in which case that's a pretty negative aspect and could lead to the conclusion that you're not allowed to poison plants, that's called Kotzer. Or is it not about that? Maybe it was about the initial picking up of the pot, and that's another understanding which would take us perhaps in a different direction. Okay, so we'll stop there. We'll show you a wonderful day. And,